hold. A little secret that nobody knows. Life is a gamble, a game we all play, but you need to save something for rainy days.
So we have a legal issue that we're going to discuss, because there is a fantastic legal contrast between both Washington and Baylor. The two participants in tonight's 2011 Valero Alamo Bowl. And doesn't that just roll off? A Valero Alamo Bowl. It's the most sensual and Latin of names of the bowl games. No?
First time you've ever mentioned the title sponsor in the intro?
It is. They're paying me. I'm sorry. They're paying me, and I wasn't going to tell SB Nation.
We're getting that oil for blog money.
Yeah, they're paying me $250,000 a mention for Valero Alamo Bowl mentions. Did I mention the Valero Alamo Bowl?
For all your Valero Alamo Bowl needs. Oh, God, now I only get $100K.
No, you owe them $250 for that, but I'll spot you, don't worry.
All right.
Because the people at the Valero Alamo Bowl, they understand these things. This game, by the way, interesting for a lot of different reasons, but number one, we should get to it. This is a battle of two states who have vastly different opinions on the issue of deadly force. For that, we're going to bring in our deadly force expert, our senior legal correspondent, Tolson, who's sitting right there. First of all, Tolson, let's clarify, you're not a very good lawyer, right?
That is correct, yes.
That's the kind we like. We only take very not good lawyers. The other question I have for you is, what makes these two states so interesting in the issue of deadly force?
Well, it's really about a contrast between how each state treats the doctrine of reasonable retreat. And basically what that means is how far you have to go back home before you start killing people. So in the key shooting states like Washington and Massachusetts, you've got to run all the way back to your front porch or your yard or something before you, you know, start defending yourself with deadly force. But in the non-key shooting states like Texas, you can use deadly force on the street. You can use deadly force in somebody else's house if they start attacking you. So how I envision this game going down, and I mean, you guys correct me if I'm wrong because I don't really watch football, is that Washington will wait until it's backed up against its goal line, once it's backed up on its own 20 if it's feeling frisky, before it starts actually playing any defense. Baylor, on the other hand, I think will probably pull handguns out from under their pads and just go on the attack right from the get-go.
I feel like that's really applicable here because we've got the 7th ranked scoring offense in the country in Baylor and the 99th ranked scoring defense in the country for UW.
That is true. So I think there may be some element of truth to that in terms of, I guess, this would make Washington the key shooting state, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's just an easy way to get Tolson some of our Valero Alamo Bowl money for all your Valero Alamo Bowl needs.
I would suggest this about the Valero Alamo Bowl, though, that against state doctrine, Baylor seems to be a practitioner of key sheeting because they're 114th in total defense. And if you've seen them, by the way, there are no low digits on that scoreboard. There's a lot of – they had one shutout this year. It was against Stephen F. Austin.
Hey, the mighty Stephen F. Austin.
Yeah, everyone else gave it up and gave it up hard and gave it to the defense of the Baylor Bears. But that's not the story here. Though thank you for the fascinating legal perspective, Tolson.
Oh, no problem.
The deadly force in question. Segway for the Valero Alamo Bowl. I'm up to like $350 million at this point.
I was trying to make a Battle of San Jacinto joke, and I couldn't get it looked up in time to make sure I was actually right.
It's really, by the way...
He didn't die there. He died of pneumonia.
It's not a good idea to look up a joke live.
I was hoping that Stephen F. Austin had actually died in battle, but he died of pneumonia on just... Whoa! Okay, he died of pneumonia on December 27th, 1836, at the home of George B. McKinstry.
Well, obviously, that's where all the people of finery went to die.
However, he prophesied the Longhorn Network. Austin's last words were, "The independence of Texas is recognized. Don't you see it in the papers?"
We do see it in the papers. And at least 7 subscribers see it on cable every single day. We love everyone who works at the Longhorn Network, including you, Andy Wall.
What's up, Andy? Hey, girl.
So, but the deadly force in question. to continue my specialty, the hackneyed segue, is Baylor's offense in this one, which is going to be...
How can you type when your fists are full of ham?
I know! Yeah, I've been doing it for years. The Robert Griffin III is pretty much why you're going to be watching this game, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe your last chance to see the reigning Heisman Trophy winner in a college uniform.
Yes, and your last chance to see him throwing to Kendall Wright, which is a treat indeed. If you
can, we unless you're Bob Stoops.
Unless you're Bob Stoops. Can we go ahead and I do want to have a serious moment and say that Robert Griffin has been a joy to watch.
Oh, it's about time he made it through a year without a horrendously debilitating injury. Can you imagine what we might have seen, you know, had his tendons not been so traitorous in seasons past?
Yes, and just watch him move. It's amazing. The best part is that he has got fantastic footwork. And really, like...
Say footwear.
He has foot... The socks probably help. I'm not saying that Cookie Monster socks... and SpongeBob socks, and Superman socks with their own cape like he wore to the Heisman ceremony. I'm not saying that those don't help your footwork, but I think barefoot you would be able to see that a quarterback's beauty begins in the feet. They're like the geisha, right? And the way he actually plays, aesthetically, just
makes
watching
it. Makes defenders look like their feet are bound.
It really does. And like the last guy I have seen with this kind of footwork didn't, I didn't see it in college. I saw it in the pros. It's Brady's footwork, which is
it's pretty.
Oh yeah, no, it's absolutely beautiful. And it was fun for a couple of years. This is how I know that he's a transcendent figure. It was fun for a couple of years to watch people fumble with the racial stereotype issue. Like it was fun to watch people say he's an athletic quarterback, but he's a quarterback first, right? Which was their way of saying he's a black guy playing quarterback, but he also happens to be a real quarterback. It's been fun because in his senior year, that hasn't been the
case
at all.
It's disappeared completely.
No, it's amazing. It's
and everyone's just in awe, finally.
Yeah, it's been so much fun to watch him. They're never out of the game. Like they could be down 14, no problem. They'll get it back. Not that that's going to be a case in this game, but I think Washington, more competitive in this game than people might think, especially due to Baylor's defense in part. But, you know, they bring their own core competencies to the table, as HR corporate would say.
Yeah, and we have the, don't forget the underrated NFL draft competition, Sulk for Polk.
Yeah. You might suck for luck, but one could also sulk for Polk. If you want to really, God, that's...
I don't actually know if he's coming out. I'm pretty sure our Washington blog made that up.
We're not sure. How's that? We're not sure. But at the same time, too, Keith Price is no slouch. Keith Price has been very entertaining as well at quarterback. And a team that is incapable of defending the pass, incapable of really sort of winning against the powers in the Pac-12, if you look down the stretch, against Oregon, loss. Against SC, big loss, 40-17. All right, against Oregon State, an unforgivable loss, 38-21. If you want to look at like the worst loss on their schedule, there's two of them.
Oregon State is the worst loss on a lot of people's schedules.
Yeah, that's it. But they lost
about two people's schedules.
Two
of their three wins were the worst loss on somebody's team.
But Washington is definitely one of them, and
they got Mike Stoops fired.
Yeah, and this is by the way the one of those teams that is failing to ripen when you go for the three-year trajectory, right? Of in year three,
they're the rock hard Kiwis of the Pac-12.
Yeah, that's it. Has not been it's been that we more than anyone else, I think, were guilty of hoping for Sark Week to happen every week.
Last year when we pegged Washington as a dark horse national title contender, both of us.
You got to go big. And,
now, to our credit, we did live every week of 2010 like it was Sark Week. We just didn't know what Sark Week meant at the time.
I think Sark Week is a hangover for both of our teams has continued deep into 2011 and possibly into 2012.
Don't tell me what to do.
But this is a 7-win campaign, a bit of a disappointment for this Washington team, I would say. Calling this game, we have a fascinating crew And I only mean fascinating in that Chris Spielman's calling this game, son.
And a Dave, but not one of the Raycom Daves, a lesser Dave. A Dave, a Pash Dave?
Dave Pash. Dave Pash. Usually relegated to the noon Big Ten game.
This is what we're talking about.
On ESPN. That's, are you showing Tolson Sark Week? It's very important.
Yeah, how'd you know?
I guess I'm inside your brain all the time, whether you like it or not. And unfortunately, you are in mine, which is how you know that at 4 o'clock I was so hungry I had to stop by Wendy's and get a bad chicken sandwich. There was no food in the house. Bowl week sucks so much, you can't leave. The other underplayed asset of this game is San Antonio itself, which as a bowl destination, by the way, San Antonio, pretty nice. I think that's not damning with faint praise. It's a pretty nice place to go watch a football game, save for the stadium itself, which is an overgrown, moldy shed. That's a good description of the Alamo Dome.
I was very disappointed to learn upon our visit to Texas this past winter that it wasn't actually built over the Alamo Dome to provide a dry weather environment for visiting tourists, because that would mean the teams would have to fight over, under, and through the Alamo Bowl, a la Nickelodeon's Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah, we need that to happen, and it would have been made better to watch Mike Stoops' hopes and dreams die last year if he'd had to do it scheming a blitz around the stony walls of the Alamo itself. Sadly,
Mike Stoops in with Davy Crockett in my presence.
Well, they both did die in defeat, no?
Now, mean.
We'll end it there. That's perfect. All right.
Well, heel rasp, but I guess that'll have to do for post game.
Yeah, we'll just do a whole post.
Heel rasp.
Oh, excellent. All right, that worked. Thank you, Tolson, for your expert legal opinion.